you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I think Keenan Allen is a third down machine.
Third down machine. You're right.
Thanks to Chris Emma.
You're right.
Ian Happ and Jarrett Payton for being our guests today. We appreciate the fine work of Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell.
You're right.
Kevin Lapka for all that they do. And now, up north. To Gurney, the wall at Marcus Gurney Cinema, Parkins and Spiegel are there.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. What a cool concept of a place.
Yeah, this place rules.
I mean, there's a lot of leather chairs in here and a lot of TV screens.
Yeah, it's not, this isn't a movie theater. I mean, there are movie theaters all around us. This is like an auditorium set up as a sports bar, but it's got all the comforts of the movie theater. And it is freaking delightful in here. I just want to hang out all day. Can I do that?
I think that's what they're paying us to do.
Oh, yeah. Nailed it.
I think that's the plan.
Absolutely nailed it. Guys, there are some flags on the back wall here. There's a Cubs flag. And there's a Brewers flag on the back back wall.
That would make sense.
Yeah, there's no White Sox flag in sight.
White Sox flag is upside down.
Yeah, signaling an emergency. Yes,
it's in a Supreme Court justice's backyard, I believe.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's only
his wife did it.
Dispute with the neighbors. That's how she responds.
Yeah. It's common. I hate it when that happens.
Sure, you know.
White Sox.
Yeah, but this is like this today is pretty much taunting Tanny and Shane to just give up their Sox fandom and become Brewers fans immediately. Yeah. And Danny says he's close, and this might put him over the edge.
Can I be a Cub fan and a Brewers fan?
Sure. I mean, that's a little weird.
That is weird.
It's
Let's
shame.
Say no. Let's say no.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Somebody
point.
Texted in that when the losing streak ends, it's existed for so long and has become such a part of our lives that Tanny should give the streak the Goodfellas treatment.
Tanny, do you have enough work? Do you have enough production work?
Nothing going on at the station in the next few days and weeks. So, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, and of course, the idea of betting and doubling down on every White Sox loss, you could have $500,000 now.
Lawrence, yeah, you saw that, right? BetMGM had the graphic last night. If you were to follow the Holmes maneuver, you'd make like almost $100,000. if you like parlayed everything and kept, you know, doubling down every day, yeah.
God, reinvest in the losses of this White Sox season. I mean, it's we also should have seen it coming, right?
We all did see it. I mean, we all saw it coming. Like, this isn't...
Yeah, but none of us made six figures betting against the White Sox.
That's true.
But in terms of seeing it coming, doesn't it feel like years that we've been just destroying the White Sox with, you know, a new amount of vehemence every single time that something warrants it? It's like... And now, I saw the third different writer at The Athletic in three consecutive days take a stab at writing about the White Sox losing streak. The national media is flailing wildly trying to encapsulate this thing that we are living amidst and have been flailing about trying to discuss for a few years.
Oh, the great Ray Ratto with The Defector's been all over it. They're even making fun of themselves for how much joy they've gotten out of pillorying the White Sox.
Well,
the great Ray Ratto. What is his read of the situation?
Oh, it's just all throughout the year he's been weighing in with thoughts on the depths of their sadness.
In conclusion, bad. They are very, very.
It is nice, though, because a lot of people over at the White Sox would have you believe that this is something that all of us want and need, and we're the only ones who think that things are bad. It is nice to have other people go, oh, my God, that thing that's happening over on the south side of Chicago is pretty horrible. Someone should do something about it.
And that's the thing. It sucks. I mean, this sucks to have to talk about it like that as often as we do. Like, I'm genuinely exhausted and disgusted to have to discuss the White Sox in those terms. I want two teams, man. Every Sunday morning, I do a show where I'm like, hey, this unique two-team town. All right, let's do it. Well, let's destroy this one. And also this year, let's talk about how this one is problematic.
Let's talk about
as well.
These two last-place teams.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But the White Sox thing, it's just, it's been misery for a while now. So are Ratto and the Defector folks like enjoying ripping it apart?
They have been. So
I'm past that.
No, but the editor's note, he just adds, he said, we're riding the dead donkey that is the Chicago White Sox until they stop their current record-breaking and record-threatening losing streak.
Dead donkey.
He just refers
to funky donkey.
He refers to as our spectacularly flawed heroes, lost in typically desultory fashion to the previously Soxian and now moderately interesting Oakland Athletics. But I mean, it's just amazing. And he links in the Ozzy stuff, and he just said they do a segment, what Sox fans are saying. And all he says is, no, be silent. If you're still a fan of this team, you have forfeited the right to speak and should take your morose ass back to work. Where's your dignity?
Oh, God.
Okay.
That's mean-spirited to take it out of the fan.
Oh, no.
We deserve it.
Yeah. I kind of like it. Well, two things. Lawrence, have you heard from the White Sox recently that they're mad at us? Because we know they're all-time sensitive. They're like, they're world-class in sensitivity.
No. It's just, you know, kind of been the whole thing of like, oh, well, of course, those guys. Like, we'd much rather be talking about a good team. And this isn't even that. Like, this isn't even like the Cubs this year. That's a team below 500, but still has some interesting parts. This is the worst team in baseball history that we're watching.
There's one person here so far who is clearly a White Sox fan in our audience, and he is wearing a White Sox hat and a sell the team t-shirt.
There's your combo plus.
I mean, that actually makes a lot of sense because of how culturally significant the White Sox cap is, but how awful the franchise is.
Yeah, so that
guy here is an NWA with the White Sox hat.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have an active member from NWA.
It's MC Ren. Yes.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, we bring him out. So, yeah, you know, I guess they haven't all completely quit with their messaging. That's pretty good.
I was talking to somebody last night in the play-by-play business. As I set up guests.
Do you host a podcast?
Yeah, I set up guests for the rest of the year for the PBP and kind of go back over some previous stuff. And they described the television job as the face of the franchise. And I had never thought about it like that. And obviously some of the subtext was the stuff that's been going on. But like, you know, the manager is the face of the franchise, right? Because they talk so much every day and they're there every day. But in some regards, is the television play-by-play voice a de facto face of the franchise to the fans?
Yes.
Want to get your guys' thoughts on that phrase?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I would more say the voice, you know, than the hope is that you have a superstar player who is the face of the franchise. Mm-hmm. And you know, that when I think face of franchise, you know, you think of Michael Jordan. You think of like players,
ideally. Yes.
Ideally. So I don't look at Boog Sciambi as the face of the Cubs. I don't look at him as that.
You know,
he's your ringmaster. He's the maitre d'. I mean, there's probably a different metaphor for
Carnival
it.
Barker?
Well, he's your tour guide to things, and they are the person who it presents it to you every day. It is in your home with you, bringing it to you. So
yes.
There's something other than I think face of the franchise is a little facile, but I do think that it's a massively important role for a major league team.
Yeah, right. It's a massively important role in terms of a hire and in terms of what you're trying to represent and like the excellence you're trying to showcase, your entire, you know, your hiring process, all of that, and how you want your fans to experience your ball club on the day.
What's really unfortunate, Speaks, is like now people are like realizing by comparison when they compare it to the TV broadcast and how disappointed they are, is you're now seeing clips of Len and DJ and how good they are doing their job. And because they have to show now, hey, this is how it's done compared to how it's, you know, seen on TV. You know, so that's really unfortunate because they've always been great. DJ, I've been a fan of for a long, long time.
Me too. And I love him with Len. I also love him with Connor. I think Connor does an incredible job when he sits in and does broadcasts on the radio, and it brings like a different type of energy from DJ when DJ is calling games. It's just, you know, these are some of the things. Like, it's a lot. There's a lot that the White Sox should look to fix, but it doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like any of it is priority. And the most important priority is the what you put on the field. And I think that's what's the most disappointing, like, to the fan base, where I think that there's been a good portion of White Sox fans that the infighting has been bizarre at the beginning of the year on people trying to tell them that this team is not going to be very good and folks being like, well, what do you mean? And then seeing it play out and not just being unsurprised, but just being like, there's no hope. Like, that's when you get to the bottom of this with the White Sox. This season, there doesn't seem like there's any hope because you know that the owner has a history of not wanting to spend his way out of mistakes, and you have no faith that the front office can develop their way out of this. So where is that? There isn't even that for anyone who is still hanging on to try and figure out where to get your hope from. There's no place to turn.
Yeah. Everybody's just kind of waiting for the owner to pass or the family to sell the team. Everybody. And even those within the org, I think, have reached a point where they're kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop. And
Lawrence, did you have Vargas as being bad? If one of the few things that you could look forward to, a position player?
He's really terrible.
I think you're right.
He is.
Because I just don't know where the bats are coming from.
Great. Well, I mean, to be fair, Tanny, he's only had 600 plate appearances.
That's true, yeah, with a really good organization, yeah. So you don't really know what he is at this point, right?
If you guys need optimism, turn to the Bears and Hard Knocks tonight. You guys did an amazing job with your bingo board.
Thanks!
It is so good. The graphic is so great.
The graphic is good. I think the graphic's probably the best part. We had nothing to do with it.
Well, I'm going to give you guys the compliment, okay. And then thanks. You can pass it along to Kevin Lapka.
There.
Because it is spectacular work. The graphic is incredible. Are you going to do a new one for every episode? Like, is this the episode one, is this the graphic for the series?
If we get bingoed out in the first episode, I think we kind of have to go back and put another one together. But okay. we'll see.
Because yeah, they can't get all of these into one episode. So I think,
but you
could
get five.
You could definitely get five. Yeah, you could definitely. My only note is I would have put Kevin Warren's morning routine as the free space. That's my only note.
Because you're so sure of it?
It is 100%, Pernsey. It is a mortal lie. It might not happen episode one, but we are waking up with Kevin Warren on this show. It is a guarantee that we will know what the inside of his bedroom looks like.
He uses his exercise routine to steal his mind. And as he washes his car, yeah, right?
It is such an absolute lock. I mean, it's why the show is happening.
I do like the choice of the L-trains in the opening montage as the representation of Chicago-dom. You know, whether we get deep dish pizza or whether we get the bean or we get anything, the L trains is the you can be assured of that one.
I love that L that runs up at Hell's Hall.
Yeah, me too, man.
It's a great line.
It's very good. Nico Horner is going to join us coming up in about 20 minutes. We are going to be talking a ton of Hard Knocks and this Bears day and everything that goes into it. Chris Emma on the show at 5. We have weird Olympic stories that I'm into and that Speaks is into, and we got Shane and Tanny out here, and we're doing it in front of a live audience at the Wall, and it's going to be a lot of fun. People are hopefully going to, you know, win a Topgolf machine at some point today, so we got a lot of stuff to do today, boys.
Have fun, boys.
Topgolf
machine.
Topgolf. You're the worst. Tanny's Open kicks us off. Nico Horner in 20 minutes. Come see us. The Wall at Marcus Cinema in Gurnee Mills. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkinson. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
And Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Tomorrow, the Wall at Marcus Gurnee Cinema. It's going to be an incredible spot. I cannot wait to get out there. It's always free to get in. Over 70 seats, first come, first serve for the Hard Knocks premiere.
The right quarterback can deliver a championship. The Bears seem intent on taking USC's Caleb Williams.
Went to USC in Oklahoma. Lamar's down still. Fight on.
Yeah.
And my signing bonus is 25.5.
We'll be there doing the show from 2 to 6. Great food, recliners, theater style, the elevated sports bar.
If you just want to come by tomorrow, do it.
Yeah,
do it.
It's going to be a great hang. We're going to be there playing Golden Tee, and the Hard Knocks will be on the big screen. It'll be an awesome, awesome experience. And hopefully seeing a bunch of people out there. And, Tanny?
He's coming.
Yes?
You're not running the board tomorrow. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Look at that. A lot
of coming
out
to the wall.
A lot of good info out there.
Going to come out and hang out.
That's how you know it's special if they're letting me go. So I hope to see you all out there tomorrow.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Man. The listeners fought the fight.
Tanny is
most
coming to the wall, which will make up for Spiegs. Things that he might say.
Are you saying I shouldn't
or
come?
Or do. No.
I want to come.
Do not come. Do not come.
Keep it simple and be consistent. We're going to give you the keys. You go and drive it. This is your team.
And now, live from the Wall at Marcus Gurnee Cinema, ahead of the premiere of Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks. Knocks.
This is the Parkinson Spiegel Show on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Oh, it sure is. And this place is very cool. They will be airing the episode tonight. We'll talk to Nico Horner in 10 minutes. It's within the movie theater, but it's not a movie theater anymore because it's a sports bar, and they got the game on, and they got all sorts of screens on the side.
Yeah, man.
I mean, this place.
It really does feel like a sports book that is also a sports bar with the comfort of a movie theater and the convenience of a radio show.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
we sound good in here.
Yeah, we sound amazing.
We sound like Liev Schreiber.
The station sounds incredible on these speakers. The sound system is amazing. I never heard Bernstein sound that good. Never.
That's what he's needed all these years.
And I never will again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was fleeting.
Yeah, it was a moment in time, and now it's gone. I'm feeling the symmetry, Danny, as Tanny used Pink Floyd's The Wall in the open there.
Oh, I get it.
I saw The Wall in a movie theater at midnight in high school. It was the law. I barely even wanted to, but it was what you had to do in order to graduate from my high school.
Were you sober?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
It took me a minute to think about.
All right.
But yeah,
loser.
It was. And am I sober now? Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Thank
I figured maybe
asking.
More sober now than when you saw The Wall back then. But
yeah, I mean, it's
equally sober.
Could be a long afternoon. And I mean, it's not like we have a long drive back or anything. It's nice to be up here in this part of the world. But just like the symmetry from seeing The Wall in a movie theater to now being at The Wall near a movie theater.
Are you feeling sentimental?
Yeah, a lot of things are coming together. A lot of things are coming together on a big, big Bears day with Hard Knocks tonight.
It is a big Bears
it
day.
It is, dude.
I don't want to like overstate how big of a Bears day it is because it's a little sad how big of a Bears day it is.
Well,
does that make sense?
We're desperate for a good sports day and a big sports day.
Yeah.
But it is a big day.
It's a pre-recorded TV show that they've done like
It's not live. It's
14
not live
seasons of that we all were like, yeah, it's kind of gotten a little stale.
You can't do this now.
No, what I'm saying
you
is.
You can't be the guy.
Dude, I'm very
that
excited.
Raised the expectation willingly, happily.
You're misunderstanding my point.
And fomented, you know, excitement, if that's even a thing.
I'm very excited for Hard Knocks. You know I'm an 11 out of 10 excited for Caleb in this Bears season.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, this.
It's a big day.
But it's not supposed to be this big. It's only this big because of how bad the Bears have been.
And how bad the baseball is.
Yes, yes. And how bad the Bulls are. And how bad the Blackhawks are.
Uh-huh.
And how bad, like, the general state of the world is. Salute. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? It's not supposed to be this big. Like, it's supposed to be big. It's supposed to be exciting.
I don't know. It feels pretty big.
It feels a little ridiculous.
I'm going to say
how excited I am for the show
tonight. It feels bigger than a game day. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
But, like, what game day? Not Bears-Titans, not of the Caleb era. You're like, this feels a little bit bigger than, like, week 14 of last year.
It feels bigger than – it does. It does feel bigger than, like, the last four or five games last year.
But then I got to bet on it. Because those days felt bigger.
Can't you do that?
Sure. Well, let's figure something out.
There's odds on some of these screens on the sides here at the wall.
What should we bet on for tonight's episode? That's what we should do.
I think
they did – bingo.
Yeah,
but during the person.
Are we contractually obligated?
What a safe game to play.
Aren't we contractually obligated to support their show and support the station?
It's a good bingo board.
It's a very good bingo board. It's a nice idea.
I mean, their combined age is much older than you guys. So they're just trying to feel a little bit more at home.
Thanks, man.
Perfect.
Only through the magic of combined age I get lower.
You're welcome.
To something reasonable.
Speaks definitely their peer.
Yeah, I never said anything about you being young. I just said the combined age of you guys.
So let's do a same game parlay.
Hard Knocks
tonight.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take the over on Tory Taylor mentions and references.
Okay. So if Tory Taylor is mentioned 2.5 times, you're going over on 2.5 mentions.
Oh, that's a lot.
Saying his name.
That's a lot for the whole name. I mean,
Taylor, Tory, the Australian
the
punter.
Australian punter.
Like, he has to be spoken, not shown. Like, if he's in the background of a shot for a meeting, it doesn't count. He has to be spoken.
I hope we get a lot of meetings. Those are fun, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
An hour of meetings.
We got meetings. It's so exciting. It really is great.
It's going to be better than the Giants one. The Giants one made news.
Ooh, that's a high bar, buddy.
But I don't know, man. The Giants one, it just showed that they're bad. That they're bad at their jobs of being the Giants. This is going to show awesomeness. Top to bottom.
And I am obviously excited. I just think it's a little silly how excited we all are because of how awful sports have been around here for so long. Nico Horner has got a front row seat to some of that sports disappointment. We've got our guy out here. We got Zeb here, who's wearing a Nico Horner jersey in attendance.
Cool.
He's super pumped about it. He gave me a question to ask Nico Horner. So
nice.
We'll do that, among other things, when we talk to the Cubs second baseman next on The Score.
Leading off for the Perkins and Spiegel Show, number 2, Nico Horner.
Nico Horner is on the show with us every Tuesday. And
oh, sick.
Nico Horner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico on with Parkins and Spiegel. Oh, man, it's funny.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, Nate.
He's got good hair.
He's
jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
Burleson lines one. Diving catch by Nico Horner. That's out number 2. Back-to-back excellent defensive plays.
Nico goes. The pitch. Swing and a miss. The throw to second base is not in time. Stolen base for Nico.
Now, good jump by Nico as he gets to that bag.
Completely changes the dynamic of the game. Just an extra 90 feet obviously leads to my base hit. Like, that scores him. You know, you don't need another hit to then score.
Yeah, now a base hit to the outfield, and the Cubs will tie this ballgame.
Line drive, base hit, left field. Here comes Nico, and we're tied up at 4.
Yes, sir.
Just like the little things that make him obviously such a great player and such a valuable commodity for our group.
Ball game! Cubs win! Mike Tuchman walks it off!
It changes games, and that's what winning players do, and that he's definitely one of them.
Nico Horner with Perkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
How fun is that?
Our conversations with Nico are brought to you by Phillips Chevrolet, the number one selling Chevy dealer in Illinois, 18 years in a row. What's up, Nico Horner?
Hi, how are we doing?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Pretty good. In my little hallway spot. Feeling good.
Nice. It's nice to hear that in that montage, the stolen base, a key part of what happened last Thursday night in that walk-off, and Dansby saying nice things. It's we haven't seen the steals as much this year, but you still got that in you in a big moment, apparently, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on pace for like 30, so that's pretty good, right?
That's pretty good.
I mean, it's not 50.
Last year.
Never did
50. I know. We had high hopes for you this year, man. I know you've never done 50, yeah. But, you know.
I think last year we kind of abused the rule changes early on, and teams made some appropriate adjustments from there. So I don't know if 50 is in the cards, but we'll see.
You obviously last night, notwithstanding, the offense has been much better, especially since the deadline and Paredes getting here. You had said is the best version of us on the year. Why do you think, you know, overall the offense has been better of late?
Just from a depth perspective, I feel like when you look at the lineup, it's just a more complete lineup, a lineup that's a little more versatile. I think we have the ability to score in different ways, and combination of contact and some slug, and I think we're in a good spot with that offensively.
How much does one guy, even if he's not next to you in a lineup, impact you and other guys in the lineup? Like we've kind of debated that on the show, but obviously we have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think lineup construction's super interesting. I mean, I think the idea of you want your best hitters up as much as possible probably is the biggest factor, but it does seem like there's some combinations and pockets and skill sets that do line up, and sometimes that's just kind of a gut feeling, and obviously there's the righty-lefty combos, but, for instance, last year I felt like when I was able to be on base for Belly in particular, I just feel like anytime I was able to get in scoring position for him, you know, we were able to make that happen. And, just kind of, especially when you see guys out there that you know, and it's like you've been there before and just kind of have a bit of a rhythm with it.
I keep trying to have people confirm something I believe. You know that interview technique, Danny? You like that one when I go for that, right?
I do.
I know you
it's,
like
it's
it.
It's a personal favorite.
Yeah.
Of mine.
I was like, hey, I asked Dustin Kelly, your hitting coach, the other day in the dugout. I'm like, so when you see guys like Paredes and Bellinger with the two-strike approach, does that influence the willingness of other people? Does it get contagious in that way? And he said, no, it doesn't. And it bummed me out. But then I'm thinking, we asked you that question about Bellinger. Remember we asked Nico that question about Bellinger last year? And I think there was a yes, or was I just, look, you know, getting confirmation on that? Like when you see people doing that, are you more willing, I wonder, as a ball club to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that Isaac Paredes changes anything with two strikes, or that it's just a skill set that works with two strikes. You know, I think you see more of an exaggerated adjustment from Belly, but overall, hard to say, but we'll see. It'll be interesting the more we play with him.
Jed said that he cares a lot about how the offense performs the last 2 months. I'm paraphrasing, but basically, like, you know, if that bad stretch gets looked at now as a bad stretch, okay, it was a bad stretch, but if it continues, it's obviously going to impact a lot and weigh on him when he makes decisions about what next year's team will look like this offseason. Is that something that he communicates to you guys, or what do you make of that message?
No, it's the first time I've heard that, but I mean, that makes a ton of sense. Obviously, what you do in the offseason is based on the version of the team that you have going into next year. And, obviously a lot of baseball is done this year, but there's also a significant chunk left, especially when you talk about additions to the team, as well as, guys like Pete, who have really been swinging the bat well. And, I think showing who he is at this level and who he can be, and as well as those of us that haven't played to our standards, but believe that we have a lot more in the tank, obviously. So, all that stuff matters a lot. And obviously, as the players end of it, we're focused on this year first and foremost, obviously. But those do have big implications for sure.
What are you seeing from Pete at the plate that you're enjoying?
Just lots of hard hit balls, line drives, hard hit ground balls. You know, obviously, you don't go up there to hit ground balls, but like if your miss is a hard hit ground ball, you have a chance of producing. And just the hard hit line drives. I mean, anytime he hits a ball that touches grass, he's going to have a chance to slug, and has home run power, as we've seen, and just really impressive on a variety of different kind of pitchers too. such a big part of being an everyday guy, obviously, is not being, you know, lumped into facing certain types of guys and then having a type of pitcher that you really aren't productive against. And so it's been exciting to see him really cover a variety of pitches and pitchers.
Before the play, where he and you had the problem in the eighth inning, that sky was weird, right? Like Dansby had waved the two of you off kind of frantically for one, and there was a pop up, Nico, where you waved everybody off and then had a big smile to PCA and to Dansby after you made the catch. What was so odd about the sky that day to begin with, so we understand?
The day that we dropped the ball, or when I caught one.
No, the Saturday. The Saturday when you dropped it, there was like a play with a big smile, an inning or two before the one.
I mean, it's just the sun later in the year, the sun is a little bit more centered. So anything in the middle of the field is the sun plays a big factor, and then the wind blowing as it always is. I think you see more pop ups in general. Dropped at Wrigley, but. Yeah, I don't know how much of a factor the sun played on the ball that we actually dropped, though.
Well, you had said that you trust PCA more than basically anyone that you'd ever played with, which I thought was an interesting way to describe it afterwards, just given that you guys haven't played that much together. Can you expand on why, I guess, you said that, or maybe more accurately, like why you trust him so much?
Just because of the prep that he puts in, the skill set that he has. The confidence that he plays with, how much he believes in himself. You know, it's easy to believe in other people when I know that they believe in themselves first. And, you know, especially on the defensive side of the baseball, is just, I love how he talks about the game. I love how he takes, not only does it well, but takes pride in it. He's not just like someone who's blessed with a talent and then just goes and does it. There's thoughts behind it. And, he's working every day to improve. And, just have a lot of confidence in him.
So just expand on it. Like, trust on a baseball field when you're talking about it in those terms, like how do you measure it? How does it matter?
Well, it matters because I can't see him and he's coming full speed and I have to get out of the way.
That's very logical.
Yeah. So I guess that in that particular play, that's where, you know, my head went. And, you know, just the priorities on any ball in the air, the center fielder, is the head guy out there, right? So he's in charge, and what he says goes, and that's going to be a really good thing for us in the long run, obviously, with his skill set. So we trust him to make those calls and catch the ball.
Ian Happ was on this morning and actually brought up the play where you and he had collided in 2021, I guess it was, in Cincinnati. And he brought it up in the context of you guys had to figure out, you know, your communication and just how it goes. I would like maybe this is the, and he brought it up in terms of like maybe this is that moment where you and Pete then have to talk and take it to an extra level. And now you'll know that nothing like this will ever happen again. That is, does that make sense as a way to think about it?
Yeah. I mean, the one with Ian was interesting because neither of us called that ball ever. Because it was a true in-betweener, and there was no point in the air where I was like, oh, I have this ball, and I assume he felt the same way. And we did it right where I went high and he went low, but unfortunately, you know, I went through his body and face. I think the only takeaway for me on the pop-up side, I mean, I'm not going to like stress over pop-ups because we're going to catch a lot of pop-ups, but just with the wind blowing straight in, it's like it was, it's, you know, more likely the infielder ends up camped. And then with it blowing out, infielders tend to kind of, like their feet are shuffling and they're drifting. And that's when you need the outfielder. So the wind is obviously a huge factor at Wrigley and should be play to our strengths as our home field.
We're talking to Nico Horner here, Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. All right, a couple different lines of questioning here. We know you're a big proponent of the dominance of the Odyssey softball team, but there's
a huge fan of Odyssey softball.
But the team has a crisis, Nico. Shane can explain.
All right, Nico. So second to last regular season game last night, our shortstop, who we've told you about, Cody Westerland, fractured his thumb. He is out for the season. I need your help because I've got to slide over from third and become the shortstop on a 9-0 Odyssey softball team. I've lost weight recently, but I don't know if the speed came with it. I think I'll have the range. My arm is strong. You just want me playing deep back onto the grass or cut balls off?
Whatever gets you on the routine play most consistently. I think as a replacement guy, your teammates are going to really judge you based on the play that they just basic one they need to have. Anything else is bonus from that point. And so I think you need to just self-reflect on like what gets you to the place that you can most consistently do the simplest thing. And maybe something great happens from that. But I think that's just where you keep your head for now.
I already spend a lot of time self-reflecting, and it never really turns out good. So I don't know
more of a therapy
how much
thing,
self-reflection I should be doing. And also, I think they judge me.
Maybe less self-reflecting.
Maybe less self. I think also my teammates judge me for a lot more than just my ability to play softball, and I think that's also a part of the problem.
Yeah. Are you going to take a lot of extra reps, or are you just going to trust your instincts and just go?
No, I'm going to trust my instincts. Yeah, I'm just going to pounce on the ball.
That's probably better. You're not going to reinvent the wheel in a week's time. Okay. I think you're more capable than you probably realize. So
that means more than that. That means so much coming from you. Thank you.
I mean, honestly, I was kind of hoping that Nico was just going to volunteer.
Yeah, I thought so too.
When he said we need your help, I thought the next question was, can you take the last 6 weeks off of the Cubs season and come help out? Odyssey?
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of all these rules.
I feel like Jane wants this.
I do want it, but I'm kind of tired of all these stupid rules Craig Counsell has for you. It's dumb. You're an adult.
Was it at least an on-field injury?
No, it was like an in-betweener. It was on-field. It was an in-betweener where he didn't know if he wanted to let it hop or try to cut it off and catch the liner, and it caught his left thumb. He's in a cast and everything.
That sport with no glove will get you.
Yeah, they say that.
It will. And then listen, Nico, we are out here. And he's super pumped about it. He gave me a question to ask Nico Horner. So we'll do that, among other things, when we talk to the Cubs second baseman next on The Score.
Leading off for the Parkins and Spiegel Show, number two. Nico Horner
is on the show with us every Tuesday. And
oh, sick.
Nico Horner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico on with Parkins and Spiegel. Oh, man, it's funny.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
He's got good hair.
Yes.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
Burleson lines one. Diving catch by Nico Horner. That's out number two. Back-to-back excellent defensive plays.
Nico goes. The pitch. Swing and a miss. The throw to second base is not in time. Stolen base for Nico.
Now, good jump by Nico as he gets to that bag.
Completely changes the dynamic of the game. Just an extra 90 feet obviously leads to my base hit. Like, that scores him. You know, you don't need another hit to then score.
Yeah, now a base hit to the outfield, and the Cubs will tie this ballgame.
Line drive, base hit, left field. Here comes Nico, and we're tied up at four. Yes, sir.
Just like the little things that make him obviously such a great player and such a valuable commodity for our group.
Ball game! Cubs win! Mike Tuchman walks it off!
It changes games, and that's what winning players do, and that he's definitely one of them.
Nico Horner with Perkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
How fun is that?
Our conversations with Nico are brought to you by Phillips Chevrolet, the number one selling Chevy dealer in Illinois, 18 years in a row. What's up, Nico Horner?
Hi, how are we doing?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Pretty good. In my little hallway spot. Feeling good.
Nice. It's nice to hear that in that montage, the stolen base, a key part of what happened last Thursday night in that walk-off, and Dansby saying nice things. It's we haven't seen the steals as much this year, but you still got that in you in a big moment, apparently, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on pace for like 30, so that's pretty good, right?
It's pretty good.
I mean, it's not 50.
Last year.
Never did 50.
I know. We had high hopes for you this year, man. I know you've never done 50, but, you know.
I think last year we kind of abused the rule changes early on, and teams made some appropriate adjustments from there. So I don't know if 50's in the cards, but we'll see.
You obviously last night, notwithstanding, the offense has been much better, especially since the deadline and Paredes getting here. You had said is the best version of us on the year. Why do you think, overall the offense has been better of late?
Just from a depth perspective, I feel like when you look at the lineup, it's just a more complete lineup, a lineup that's a little more versatile. I think we have the ability to score in different ways, and combination of contact and some slug, and I think we're in a good spot with that offensively.
How much does one guy, even if he's not next to you in a lineup, impact you and other guys in the lineup? Like we've kind of debated that on the show, but obviously we have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think lineup construction's super interesting. I mean, I think the idea of you want your best hitters up as much as possible probably is the biggest factor, but it does seem like there's some combinations and pockets and skill sets that do line up, and sometimes that's just kind of a gut feeling, and obviously there's the righty-lefty combos, but for instance, last year I felt like when I was able to be on base for Belly in particular, I just feel like anytime I was able to get in scoring position for him, you know, we were able to make that happen. And just kind of, especially when you see guys out there that you know, and it's like you've been there before, and just kind of have a bit of a rhythm with it.
I keep trying to have people confirm something I believe. You know that interview technique, Danny? You like that one when I go for that, right?
I do.
I know you
it's,
like
it's
it.
It's a personal favorite.
Yeah.
Of mine.
I was like, hey, I asked Dustin Kelly, your hitting coach, the other day in the dugout. I'm like, so when you see guys like Paredes and Bellinger with the two-strike approach, does that influence the willingness of other people? Does it get contagious in that way? And he said, no, it doesn't. And it bummed me out. But then I'm thinking, we asked you that question about Bellinger. Remember we asked Nico that question about Bellinger last year? And I think there was a yes, or was I just getting confirmation on that? Like when you see people doing that, are you more willing, I wonder, as a ball club to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that Isaac Paredes changes anything with two strikes, or that it's just a skill set that works with two strikes. You know, I think you see more of an exaggerated adjustment from Belly, but overall, hard to say, but we'll see. It'll be interesting the more we play with him.
Jed said that he cares a lot about how the offense performs the last 2 months. I'm paraphrasing, but basically, if that bad stretch gets looked at now as a bad stretch, okay, it was a bad stretch, but if it continues, it's obviously going to impact a lot and weigh on him when he makes decisions about what next year's team will look like this offseason. Is that something that he communicates to you guys, or what do you make of that message?
No, it's the first time I've heard that, but I mean, that makes a ton of sense. Obviously, what you do in the offseason is based on the version of the team that you have going into next year. And, obviously a lot of baseball is done this year, but there's also a significant chunk left, especially when you talk about additions to the team, as well as, guys like Pete, who have really been swinging the bat well. And I think showing who he is at this level and who he can be, and as well as those of us that haven't played to our standards, but believe that we have a lot more in the tank, obviously. So, all that stuff matters a lot. And obviously, as the players' end of it, we're focused on this year first and foremost, obviously. But those do have big implications for sure.
What are you seeing from Pete at the plate that you're enjoying?
Just lots of hard hit balls, line drives, hard hit ground balls. Obviously, you don't go up there to hit ground balls, but like if your miss is a hard hit ground ball, you have a chance of producing. And just the hard hit line drives. I mean, anytime he hits a ball that touches grass, he's going to have a chance to slug, and has home run power, as we've seen, and just really impressive on a variety of different kind of pitchers too. Such a big part of being an everyday guy, obviously, is not being lumped into facing certain types of guys and then having a type of pitcher that you really aren't productive against. And so it's been exciting to see him really cover a variety of pitches and pitchers.
Before the play where he and you had the problem in the eighth inning, that sky was weird, right? Like Dansby had waved the two of you off kind of frantically for one. And there was a pop-up, Nico, where you waved everybody off and then had a big smile to PCA and to Dansby after you made the catch. What was so odd about the sky that day to begin with, so we understand?
The day that we dropped the ball, or when I caught one?
The Saturday. The Saturday when you dropped it. There was like a play with a big smile an inning or two before the one.
I mean, it's just the sun. Later in the year, the sun is a little bit more centered. So anything in the middle of the field is, you know, is the sun plays a big factor, and then the wind blowing as it always is. You know, I think you see more pop-ups in general, dropped at Wrigley, but yeah, I don't know how much of a factor the sun played on the ball that we actually dropped, though.
Well, you had said that you trust PCA more than basically anyone that you'd ever played with, which I thought was an interesting way to describe it afterwards, just given that you guys haven't played that much together. Can you expand on why, I guess, you said that, or maybe more accurately, like why you trust him so much?
Just because of the prep that he puts in, the skill set that he has, the confidence that he plays with, how much he believes in himself. You know, it's easy to believe in other people when I know that they believe in themselves first. And, you know, especially on the defensive side of the baseball, it's just, I love how he talks about the game. I love how he takes, not only does it well, but takes pride in it. He's not just like someone who's blessed with a talent and then just goes and does it. There's thoughts behind it. And, he's working every day to improve, and yeah, just have a lot of confidence in him.
So just expand on it, like trust on a baseball field when you're talking about it in those terms, like how do you measure it? How does it matter?
Well, it matters because I can't see him and he's coming full speed and I have to get out of the way.
That's very logical.
Yeah. So I guess that in that particular play, that's where, you know, my head went. And, you know, just the priorities on any ball in the air, the center fielder is the head guy out there. Right. So he's in charge and what he says goes. And that's going to be a really good thing for us in the long run, obviously, with his skill set. So we trust him to make those calls and catch the ball.
Ian Happ was on this morning and actually brought up the play where you and he had collided in 2021, I guess it was, in Cincinnati. And he brought it up in the context of you guys had to figure out, you know, your communication and just how it goes. I would like, maybe this is, and he brought it up in terms of like, maybe this is that moment where you and Pete then have to talk and take it to an extra level. And now you'll know that nothing like this will ever happen again. That is, does that make sense as a way to think about it?
Yeah. I mean, the one with Ian was interesting because neither of us called that ball ever because it was a true in-betweener. And there was no point in the air where I was like, oh, I have this ball. And I assume he felt the same way. And we did it right where I went high and he went low. But unfortunately, you know, I went through his body and face. I think the only takeaway for me on the pop-up side, I mean, I'm not going to like stress over pop-ups because we're going to catch a lot of pop-ups. But just with the wind blowing straight in, it's like it was, it's, you know, more likely the infielder ends up camped. And then with it blowing out, infielders tend to kind of, like their feet are shuffling and they're drifting. And that's when you need the outfielder. So the wind is obviously a huge factor at Wrigley and should be play to our strengths as our home field.
We're talking to Nico Horner here, Parkins and Spiegel on the score. All right, a couple different lines of questioning here. We know you're a big proponent of the dominance of the Odyssey softball team, but there's
a huge fan of Odyssey softball.
But the team has a crisis, Nico. Shane can explain.
All right, Nico. So second to last regular season game last night, our shortstop, who we've told you about, Cody Westerland, fractured his thumb. He is out for the season. I need your help because I've got to slide over from third and become the shortstop on a 9-0 Odyssey softball team. I've lost weight recently, but I don't know if the speed came with it. I think I'll have the range. My arm is strong. You just want me playing deep back onto the grass or cut balls off?
Whatever gets you on the routine play most consistently. I think as a replacement guy, your teammates are going to really judge you based on the play that they just basic one they need to have. Anything else is bonus from that point. And so I think you need to just self-reflect on like what gets you to the place that you can most consistently do the simplest thing. And maybe something great happens from that. But I think that's just where you keep your head for now.
I already spend a lot of time self-reflecting and it never really turns out good. So I don't know
more of a therapy
how much
thing,
self-reflection I should be doing. And also I think they
maybe
judge
less,
me.
Maybe less self-reflecting.
Maybe less self. I think also my teammates judge me for a lot more than just my ability to play softball. And I think that's also a part of the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you going to take a lot of extra reps, or are you just going to trust your instincts and just go?
No, I'm going to trust my instincts. Yeah, I'm just going to pounce on the ball.
That's probably better. You're not going to reinvent the wheel in a week's time. Okay. I think you're more capable than you probably realize. So
that means more than that. That means so much coming from you. Thank you.
I mean, honestly, I was kind of hoping that Nico was just going to volunteer.
Yeah, I thought so too.
When he said we need your help, I thought the next question was, can you take the last 6 weeks off of the Cubs season and come help out? Odyssey?
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of all these rules.
I feel like Jane wants this.
I do want it, but I'm kind of tired of all these stupid rules Craig Counsell has for you. It's dumb.
How do you fracture your thumb? Was it at least an on-field injury?
No, it was like an in-betweener. It was on-field. It was an in-betweener where he didn't know if he wanted to let it hop or try to cut it off and catch the liner, and it caught his left thumb. He's in a cast and everything.
That sport with no glove will get you.
Yeah, they say that.
It will. And then listen, Nico, we are out here. We're having a great time at the Wall out here in Gurnee. And so we've got a live audience in front of us. And there's a kid out here. He's 11 years old. His name is Zeb. And he's rocking a Cubs hat and a Cubs jersey. And it's a Nico Horner jersey. He's a huge fan of yours. And so I asked Zeb if he had a question for you. And he said, yeah, why does Nico wear number 2? And I'm like, I've talked to him for years and I don't know the answer to that. So can you answer Zeb's question, please?
Well, I was called up to the big leagues, which is very cool, and get to San Diego, and they're like, hey, what number do you want? I was like, I don't know. What's available? And they listed a range of numbers, and number 2 was a single-digit number that was available. I felt like just having a single-digit number was pretty cool, especially on a team full of guys that were very established and obviously weren't going to be giving up numbers or anything. Not that there was one I was seeking out, but thought it was pretty cool. There's a kind of a long line of good middle infielders and shortstops that wore number 2, and obviously Jeter. But for me, I really like Troy Tulowitzki a lot growing up, and I don't know if he wore it because of Jeter, but kind of a lot of little things, but not super attached to it. But definitely cool to have a single digit number.
That's a great answer. Yeah, I had wondered if Jeter was a part of it, but Tulo through Jeter makes all the sense in the world. That's pretty cool. And then this, are you watching the Olympics? We're finding ourselves watching way more of the Olympics than we expected to watch.
Yeah, the timing of it's pretty nice with our schedule, I feel like, because we watch like late morning and then kind of the recap at night. Watch that whole soccer game today, and been all over it. It's been great.
What sport are you digging that is like way more complicated than you realized it was as you're watching it?
I thought the footwork on the shot put and the hammer were really interesting, because I didn't realize they had to stay within that small area, and these are huge people, obviously. So to create that much force and like do it within a small space, like do a max effort thing like that, but also have to be pretty nimble. Like, I thought that was pretty impressive. And I had never really taken the time to watch it before. So those were impressive.
I said with 6 months, I could be an Olympian at badminton. And then I watched badminton and I realized that I was wrong. They're really good. Do you think you could be an Olympian if you trained for it?
In anything?
In anything.
Baseball?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah, I feel like that's the classic question. I look at these body types people have, and I just can't do any of those things. I think handball probably is the easiest transition from my skill set, maybe, just like different arm angles, and I feel like maybe I could make that work, but probably not. Yeah, I don't have a lot to offer in the Olympics, I don't think.
Yeah, no, handball is a cool sport. I was watching the balance beam last night, and the way that some of those women were just like, they took a step to get on the balance beam. Like, they all have different ways to get on. Some of them are just like, you know what I'm just going to do? I'm just going to keep walking and then end up on top of the balance beam. It's like that.
They're better athletes than us.
They're better athletes than most of us. Are they better athletes than you, Nico, as you're watching it?
Definitely more specialized. I think it's just amazing. I think just the mental side of it, of training for 4 years for like the one moment. I know it's the classic thing, but it's just like what we do is so different in that, like, you know, you can do something that's intense and good, bad, it's coming the next day. Whereas theirs, it's 4 years. So just you can have the most dominant skill set, but if you can't put that together mentally in the moment once every 4 years, it's not worth anything. So pretty crazy. And Yeah, like the 100-meter men's final was insane with Noah Lyles and him obviously being you know, loud and talking a big game and then winning by just that minimal margin. Just all this so dramatic.
Yeah, 3/100ths of a second between fastest man in the world and no medal.
Yeah, wow. That's tough. And he was in last after 40 meters. It's like the margins there are just insane. But I just like, I can't, I feel like I would be so stressed out. Like I wouldn't wear a watch. I would like shave my head fully. I would like, everything would be just so minimal.
But, yeah, I don't find it to be that enjoyable. Of like, it's incredible TV, but I just find myself stressed the whole time because of exactly what you're saying. They have these poor parents who've taken kids to thousands of hours of gymnastics practice, like mic'd up. Yeah. I'm like, is there any joy here for anybody, or is it just pray that you don't fall off the balance beam? It just doesn't seem enjoyable to me.
The celebrations are pretty amazing, though. Like Mondo Duplantis breaking the world record on the pole vault and immediately running to his family, and just the whole crowd being that locked in, and that would seem like a pretty cool scene.
How's Dansby taking it all?
He's good. He's locked in. I think he's been there was one night we were hanging out in Cincinnati, and he had a little bit of an early bedtime, I think, because he had to get up to watch a game and make sure he was well rested and lock in. But he's all in, invested, and she was amazing today with that assist to win the game.
So would you call football players and the Bears soft for letting Jonathan Owens go watch Simone Biles in the Olympics when Dansby decided to stay in Chicago and help his team?
I mean, she got it done, and she won a bunch of gold medals. And I don't know. What do you guys think? Is that not a good commitment to his team? Or should
Shane's just trying to provoke you. They're in training camp, dude. You guys are in the dog days of a regular season.
No, I'm saying Dansby's a better guy than Jonathan Owens for sticking around with his team. That's what I'm saying. I'm on Dansby's side.
No, clearly.
Like,
no.
She's Simone Biles. She's going to win anyway.
You're anti-Jonathan Owens.
Yeah, big time.
Is
always
what
happens.
You are.
My theory, Nico, was that actually if Jonathan Owens was better or worse, he wouldn't be able to go. Like, he's in a perfect sweet spot of, like, good enough to make the team, but not good enough to really matter if he misses practice.
Hey, well, I mean, is he choosing her or is he choosing his country? Because that's another way to look at it. He's doing the best thing for his nation versus the Bears. It's kind of an interesting debate.
No, Dansby hates America is what you're saying.
He's choosing her. He's choosing love. He's choosing love, and anybody who fights it doesn't support love.
Do you think America needs Jonathan Owens?
I think
Simone
does.
Biles might.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, Nico, you know what you guys have done successfully? You've created a pressurized situation where, like the Olympians, you guys have to go out and win every night. You know, it's just this is your moment. Tonight, the rest of the Twins series, then the White Sox. If you guys put together like 11 out of 13 or something, you can totally get right back in this. I'm sure you guys still feel that way on some level.
Yeah, that's the reality. I mean, there's no there's no beating around that. Like, that is the reality of the situation we put ourselves in. I think the exciting thing is it's something that people are actively talking about and not just hoping for. So I think that part of it's pretty exciting. And it's an opportunity to seize. I mean, it's the reality of it. It's a hard way to play baseball when, winning 60% of the time is considered a great season, but it's also not, definitely not impossible, and it's something that we're speaking into existence, and I think we have a good thing going right now, and we're gonna make the most of it for sure.
That's interesting. So the fact that you guys are talking about it like it's a reality is inherently a good sign, in your opinion. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think so, because I've been in situations before where you're aware of those things, but it feels a little more like hope than belief. And I think some of the offensive stuff that we've done lately, I think really boost that, the consistency of our starting pitching. And then our bullpen's been really solid for a long time now. So we've talked about pairing those together for extended stretches and how we haven't done that much. And it feels like we're in a place where we can.
You could get the White Sox on a 23-game losing streak.
Oh, man. That's a lot.
21 straight losses, man.
And that right there.
That's a bit above average.
Dude, that right there is as eloquent as any of us have been in trying to talk about that thing.
21 well done, straight sir. Losses, Nico. I mean, come on.
It's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's a you can be as much committed to your you know, your own process and improving and staying day to day, but those things weigh heavy, man. Like 10, I think it was 10 or 11 straight we lost in 2021, kind of leading up to July, before we traded everyone away. And like those stretches are tough, man. It's like you can have the best group of guys possible, but you're going to feel that strong. So, yeah.
Nico, good stuff, man. We'll see you next week at the ballpark. We appreciate you.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Thanks, Nico.
All right. That is Nico Horner. Oh, man. That's a lot.
That's a lot. He's not wrong.
No. I mean, yeah. I was checking his math when he was answering the question.
Let me log on to this ESPN story, dissecting the 21-game losing streak.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yep.
It's a lot.
He's got it. Nico wrote it.
I honestly, because it's football season,
yeah.
I didn't realize that the Cubs play the White Sox in two games. That would be a miserable experience. Like, they've lost 23 in a row. All the pressure then's on the Cubs. You can't be the team that lets the White Sox win when they've lost 23 games in a row.
With the odd Sunday off day, by the way, in the middle of the season, a Sunday off day for the Cubs and the White Sox. You know what that's about? It's fascinating to me. So the White Sox get two games. The Cubs get two games. The White Sox clearly chose Friday and Saturday for their two games as opposed to Saturday and Sunday. So the Friday crowd must be deemed preferable as a draw to the Sunday crowd. And they go ahead and leave Sunday open as a possible rain day because you can't give up
a Cubs-Sox
game. When you only have a few games, you know, have a chance to actually fill your place.
Oh, so you're saying, the Sox chose this. With MLB scheduling, you get to put in requests before they make the schedule. They chose for their two spot to be on a Friday and
Saturday.
I was
in the Cubs clubhouse the other day, and a bunch of people were like, do you have any idea why we have a Sunday off day in the middle of the season?
For fantasy football drafts, I believe.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's one option. But no, we just explained it. It's the Sox desperation to protect their Cubs-Sox games.
Cubs fans, we need you there. Sox need to field the team next year. So if you guys don't show up before, you may not have a right fielder.
That's Chris Tannehill in person.
The finances,
he's on the wall. You wanted him. You needed him.
Come see us at the wall in Gurnee. It's a great spot. They're going to be airing the Hard Knocks premiere tonight, and we will try to exactly understand how big of a day this is for the Bears next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.